Well, Father, this is your service. This is your church. This is your day. And we came into this day thanking you for another day. Tonight, we thank you for another night, Father God, to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I'm asking right now that you know each and every person that's here. You know each and every person's need. I'm asking you, Father God, to meet those needs right now. In the name of Jesus, and Father God, let each person live in the overflow of abundance from your heavenly kingdom. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this, "We Have Arrived," because that's how God started it. He said, "We have arrived. It is now the new year, with all its possibilities, both good and bad. Your swords are raised and poised for battle. This is a battle of the ages. This battle will take down every sniper that is hiding in the darkness. This is a battle that will lead up to the second coming of my son Jesus. I have been preparing you for this battle, keeping you on the backside of the desert for a decade now, and you are ready to advance. The enemy knows too well what it is facing, but it will not relent. It will fight to the very end. Its sole purpose is to destroy as many believers as possible before he is destroyed for good. The only way this will come to pass is if you allow the darkness to deceive you." You know, he can only destroy you if you allow the darkness to deceive you. "I have brought you out of darkness into my glorious light. In this glorious light, I have been revealing all of heaven to those who believe in my realm of authority." And if you're really, really in tight with God, he has given you little nuggets of gold that you haven't ever heard of before. And he is allowing his children to see heavenly realm as it truly is. God says, "Speak no longer of defeat. I raised you above those beggarly elements and placed your feet on the solid path. This path is not strewn with thorns. It is a path cleared of all debris, safe to walk on, a path the enemy cannot walk on, for he has been restricted from the holy." So you have a path before you. You can walk on it and not have to be concerned about what the enemy's doing. God said, "Right now, vow to yourself that you will follow my still small voice, and in no way will you follow any other voice." God said, "Vow to yourself right now that you will follow my still small voice, and in no way will you follow any other voice." In John 10:25 says, Jesus replied, "I have already told you, and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. The legions of hell are arrayed against my chosen ones, for they know their hour is short." That's what Jesus told his disciples. God said, "Always know that my angelic host is always with you, listening for your commandments. They are there to assist you in any area of your life." I like the way he said, in any area of life. I don't care what it is in your life that you're facing. The angels are there to assist you. Then God said, "The year of the goat is here. The time to separate the precious from the vile. The year of totally separating the goat nation from my holy ones. You will see great gnashing of teeth alongside great miracles." I want to stop there because right, you know, about an hour before I came this morning, this evening, a prophetic word came forth, and the prophet said, "God is going to shake." You think that God has shaken the church before? this is one final shake, and it's going to be a shaking that's going to totally separate the sheep from the goats. So, you know, I thought we was already shaking, but there's still another shaking coming. And when he said this is the year of the goat is here, I would be very careful how I'm walking with God. I would be watching everything that I do and say, and I would make sure that I'm walking as close to God as I can possibly get. So then I put down Jeremiah 15:19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou wilt be converted, I will convert thee, and thou shalt stand before my face. And if thou wilt separate the precious from the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. They shall be turned to thee, and thou shalt not be turned to them. You have to do the separating. You have to separate yourself from the dark side. And John 3:18 says, the one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This passage indicates that this judgment between the sheep and the goats appears to be a separation of the ones who believed in him and the ones who did not believe in him. When the Son of Man comes a second time, he will determine if people are believing sheep or unbelieving goats. As I was reading this, you know, I ran across the scriptures, been there forever, said that Jesus is the one who judges. God does not judge. The angels don't judge, but Jesus does the judging. It's been in that word ever since I've been reading it. It just rung the bell the other night. Jesus explained to the Jewish leader, Nicodemus, that the amount of belief required was quite slight, only enough belief to look on Jesus lifted up on a cross, hoping to be delivered from the venom of sin, just as Israel looked upon a bronze snake lifted upon a pole, hoping to be delivered from the venom of vipers. And those who look upon Jesus, hoping to be delivered from the deadly venom of sin, will be saved from being goats and become part of Jesus' flock of sheep. And I got that from a commentary on John 3:14-16. So really what you have to do is believe that Jesus is Jesus, that he does exist. And whenever you believe that Jesus is Jesus, then you quit your sin nature. But if you say you believe that Jesus is Jesus and keep sinning, you're still a goat. And you have to be transformed into a sheep. And the only way you can do this is get out of your sin. The Son of Man has the authority and wisdom to see these distinctions, but every person chooses for themselves to either become a sheep or remain a goat. And in his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus also revealed the motives behind people's choices to remain goats in John 3:19-20. Jesus said, and this is a judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so his deeds will not be exposed. Jesus also revealed what happens when people become and live as sheep in John 3:19. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. The one who practices the truth comes to the light. Come on, you guys have been walking in this little circle long enough. You either want Jesus or you don't want Jesus. I'm talking to this church. I've watched you guys, and you don't show me that you really want Jesus 100%, because you keep going back to the dark side, and you're not going to be one of God's sheep. You're going to you should have already gotten it together. And when I keep hearing what God says to you, I said, not again. You know, why can't you get it together and keep it together? Because you don't want to get into the light. And as you know, God had us do that revival on light. It was to expose any darkness that was in you. And if you didn't get rid of that darkness, then you're in trouble. Because that's what God was doing. then God goes on to say, transaction after transaction is already in progress in my heavenly realm. Everything is on the table. Much will transpire in the government this year. Tables will be turned upside down, heads will roll, and many will pay for their crimes. All right, then I read another prophetic word this afternoon where the guy said, God said, everything's on the table now, and he's ready to move. And God spoke to us about the table. And now here he's talking about the table again. Everything's laid out before God, and he's dealing with you people's hearts. It's you that's hardening your heart, not God. It's you that's refusing to look to the light. It's you that's remaining in the darkness. Right? God's not making you stay there. I'm not, even though I'm blamed for making you stay there, I'm not making you stay there. I'm really not. I have the same decisions every day to make that you make. And I decide to walk in the light no matter what's going on in my life. I like what God here said here. Small churches must start making provisions to move into bigger facilities, for the influx of lost souls will be great and mighty to behold. And then God said, no more sugarcoating. The new lambs must be fed fresh, pure manna from heaven. There cannot be leaven in the new wine. And in the Bible, leaven is used as a symbol of sin. Everything will be holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. My body will be involved in this holiness and purity of thought. They have the truth engrafted in their spirits, and that truth is what they shall bring to the table and feed to the hungry, lost souls. Now, God said, no more sugarcoating. He's done with you guys. Then what did he say? The new lambs must be fed fresh, pure manna from heaven. If you don't want to follow God, he'll get rid of you. And he'll use those that want to follow him and who will not lead these new lambs astray, but they would fill them full of the love of God. Are you understanding this? You see, but you don't really understand it, even though you tell me, do you don't understand the warfare that we're in? You don't understand the fullness of the warfare that we're going to go into. And you don't understand how deeply the enemy is entrenched within your minds, your wills, and your emotions. Or a lot of you would be fasting, praying, finding time for God every day until you got really set free. Oh, he goes on to say, all will know who walks in this holiness. In other words, when people walk up to you, they're going to know if you walk in holiness or not. That's what he means by that. All will know who walks in this holiness, for their lights will be burning bright, burning away the chaff in others. When they walk into the room, all heads will turn because of the brightness of the light of Jesus. Now, just what had happened with Jesus when he entered a room? The devils jumped out of people. He had the light. And this is what Jesus and God is saying right here, that all will know who walks in this holiness. For their lights will be burning bright, burning away the chaff in others. When they walk into the room, all heads will turn because of the brightness of the light of Jesus. I'm just going to use Adriana. Don't get upset with me. Adriana is an example. She was going through a very difficult time in her life. I couldn't stand to be around her. She was so dark. I did not want to be around her because it messed up my spirit. But she understood whenever God was ministering different teachings, that she had to do something with her life, and she went through deliverances. And she was at my house Christmas, and she was a joy to be around. Her light was so bright. She was different. And see, I could tell that she had the light in her. I could tell when the darkness was there. You're going to have to be walking in the Spirit, and you're going to have to know the difference. And, you know, whenever the darkness is really there, you won't want to be around people because it messes up your spirit, man, really bad. Then he went on to say, saints of the Most High, you will be singing and dancing, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I'm waiting for that day. Like Paul, even during persecution, you will sing praises to the Most High. I thought this was sort of neat. I had to ask somebody about this one. He said, your metabolism will be running high and no one can stop you. You'll be a vibrant and alive. This will stagger the imagination of the dark side and they will not know how to handle you. I had to go and ask somebody, what's your metabolism do to you? So let's just read Acts 16, starting at verse 16. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. See, she knew the truth. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. Paul and Silas did nothing wrong. They just made a demon stop demonstrating. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were doing what? Praying. They were put in prison for doing absolutely nothing wrong. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew the sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. He wasn't even preaching salvation. He was just praising God. And they wanted to know how they could be saved and be like Paul. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. See how the darkness was taking care of them? Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized, and he brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city official sent the police to tell the jailer, let those men go. So the jailer told Paul, I like this part. So the jailer told Paul, the city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace. But Paul replied, they have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison, and we are Roman citizens, so now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us. When the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. See, they didn't leave right away. They returned to the home of Lydia. They were not running from the evil one. They were just taking their good old time at doing what they wanted to do. More or less, they were poking fun, I believe. And there they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. So, you know, reason why I read this is because we have to understand when the enemy comes at us illegally and does harm to us, God's going to turn the table on them and they're going to have to come and apologize to us. So you don't have to tuck tail and run. You need to stand upright, stand before God, knowing that you're in right standing with God, and God will take care of you. And the reason why people get scared and run is because they know they're not living right. And really, the enemy has the right to come and do anything he wants to you. Then God said, the dark side will flee from you on all sides, for they will know the angelic host of heaven is protecting you. The migration from dark to light has begun. Yes, there will be great destruction in all directions, but great revival will break out during all the chaos, and the captives will be set free. This new year also brings with it war. It is a war of the centuries, a war that will take some casualties, but you must know that I am with those who have chosen the closeness of the cross over fellowship with the world. What did he say? I am with those who have chosen the closeness of the cross over fellowship with the world. When the battle rages, all of heaven will come to attention. The angelic host will stand upright, waiting for their instructions to proceed forth and fight your battles for you. And then God said, what are you waiting for? The new year is here, along with all the promises of heaven. We have nothing to be concerned about. As long as we're walking upright in all of our ways, walking in the holiness, telling the truth about all things, it doesn't matter what it is, you must tell the truth. Half-truths are not in God's vocabulary. It's the whole truth or no truth at all. You're going to have to start being honest with yourself. I've been telling you this for years, but tonight I'm telling you, you're going to have to really take this very serious and become honest with yourself and let yourself know that you know where you stand, which is not in good standing with God, the majority of you, and that you have to get your life straight once and for all, because you cannot no longer go backwards. And whenever God spoke about the goat nation, and I looked it up, studied it, it's you that's choosing to be a sheep or a goat. The enemy really has no part in this. It's you making those decisions. All the enemy is doing is tempting you. But God's word says that he makes a way out of every temptation, that we don't have to do what the enemy's tempting us to do. I've told you, you have to walk in purity of heart and in holiness. I don't see that changing in the majority of people in this church. You still think you can do your own thing, your own way, and God's still going to bless. And God's been blessing you up to this point because he's trying to let you see how much he loves you. But some of you have worn out his grace. Now people say, well, that's not true. Yes, you can wear out God's grace. And I would be really concerned with what's coming down the road. There's a whole lot of things coming down the road, just like you said about what's going on right now. And I know what God's been telling me is coming down the road. And if I was you, I would be, and I wasn't walking so close to God, you couldn't tell who was me and who was God, I would be trembling in my shoes. You know, and God's been dealing with some of you and dealing with you and dealing with you, and you're still staying in your sinful natures. God's not pleased with that, and God does not have to come to your assistance. I know that we said that, you know, the angelic hosts are, God said the angelic hosts are waiting, but they're waiting on his sheep. When his sheep cry out to him, then the angels go into action. And if you're not one of God's sheep, if you're a goat, the angels aren't going to come to your assistance. We need to quit judging one another in the house of God. God dealt with me about that 2 weeks ago, very strongly. He said, I am sick and tired of the judging in the house of God, that we need to start looking at ourselves. You know, and I took that very seriously. Now, look at myself before I start looking into somebody else's life. I need to be living my life and not worrying about where, I don't worry about where you are at or what you're doing. I give you the word, and then it's up to you what you do with that word. You know, it's up to you to either live it or bypass it. I'm not here to make you live it. You know, God always told me I don't preach down the church in the corner. I don't need to know what's going on in their lives. I preach right here. I need to know what's going on here. And each one of you need to get that in your little pea brain. You're supposed to be walking your walk. And you're supposed to be doing what you know God's telling you to do. And don't be concerned about what somebody else is doing. Because, you know, you don't know what's in a person's heart. And sometimes I try to get God to tell me, and he won't tell me. Because I like to know why they're doing the things they're doing. I said, God, what's really going on with them? And if he really wants me to know, he tells me. And if he does want me to know, he doesn't. And I just let it go. In his time, if I'm to know, he'll tell me. And that's how you should be, too. Our job is to pray. If we see somebody that's messed up or somebody we think isn't doing quite what's right, we need to be praying. All right? And I'm just hearing God said you need to fast and pray. Because his disciples couldn't cast out the demons because they left out the fasting. And I know that I know that I know because I've been here. If there's situations around about you that you can't quite understand what's going on, if you will fast, God will reveal it to you. You know, because I've tried just praying and praying and praying and praying, and God says, why don't you try fasting with your praying? You know, when you fast, you have to give something very valuable, and that's your eating. You think it's valuable. I told you a story about the man who, when he was first born again at a very, very, very young age, God said, your food is crackers and water. That's all you can eat. He was in his 80s, and Kenneth Hagin took him to a doctor and said, can anybody just last on crackers and water? And they said, no way. Doctor said he would die. And here was this man standing before him. He wasn't obese in any way, shape, or form. And he, all his life, all he ate was, if God asked some of us to eat crackers and water, we would die. Right then and there, we dropped dead. There's no way we could do that. Amen. We have to have the pies and the cakes and all these dessert, all this other stuff. I'll never forget when I first started and I tried to teach Nancy and them how to fast. They wanted to put the food in a blender and drink it and everything else. That was a mess for a season. We got over that. See how food controls us. That's what I'm trying to get at. Food controls us. And when God uses the word fast, we just melt. Oh. I don't need to know anything that bad, God, where I have to give up my food, right? You and God might even put you in a state where you really can't get food, but then you have loving friends who think you have to eat or you're going to die, and they give you all the food they can shove down your throat. And all the time, God was trying to get you, put them on a fast. We need to start praying about things like that, you know. Do you really want us to give them food? Are you understanding this? We might be just doing that instead of doing that person a favor. We might be doing them a disfavor because we're taking them out of God's hands. God said, tonight you need to look at yourself as standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you need to evaluate yourself if he was to walk in here right now. Would you be in good standing with him? Are you standing in a place of worship with him where you wouldn't have to turn your back on him, but you could walk right up to him face to face? I think that's sort of neat that he's saying that because about a week ago, there were some things going on in my life and I was talking to God about it. And God said, you never have to back up to me. You always walk face to face when you're walking towards me. And I sat and I cried because that meant I was in good standing with God. You know, I wasn't doing what other people were saying I was doing, that I was in God's perfect will. And so each one of you have to know that too. Maybe you need to go before God and don't hear your own voice telling you that, but you need to hear God's voice telling you, you can walk to me face to face. All right? You know, with Moses, when Moses, he couldn't see God's face, but when he stood before him, God placed an anointing on him that all kind of miracles God could use him to do. And we are walking into the new year. God said we're already in the new year. We're in the new year where the miracles are going to start occurring. Now, are you in right standing with God? Are you in the right place where I don't care what you're doing, God could use you to perform a miracle? Amy could be scrubbing the floor and God say, Amy, I want you to go down to Kent General. There's a woman getting ready to walk through the door and she's dying. I want you to lay hands on her. So she'd jump up and go down to Kent General and there would be that lady and she'd lay hands on her and she would be healed. This is what God's going to be doing to us. Are you ready? Are you true ready to stand before our Maker unashamed? Now that you're walking in the holiness and the fullness of his stature. Don't go any further in this new year until you know that you know that you know you're in right standing with God. And God said, don't depart company with him right now. And if you do, there's no coming back. In other words, say, well, I'll just go and do a little bit more sin, then I'll be back, God. No, if you do that, you're done. Because he needs to bring the harvest in. He needs to bring the lost souls in. And I have seen us in auditoriums with people, you know, the whole auditoriums filled up with people. Are you ready to be one of those who minister to these new souls? Is your heart truly right? And I know that the enemy has taken us, every one of us, taken us into places that we never thought we'd go. You know, had us witness things or be partaker of things. We weren't sinning, but we was in the darkness. He's taken us there, tested us there. And did we come out as pure, shining gold, or did we let some of the darkness rub off on us? Are you listening? Do you hear what God's saying? He's not judging you right now. He's not even chastising you. It's his love speaking to you so that you don't miss what's about ready to start in this new year. I'm giving you time to think this over, because when you come up to the altar, I don't know if it'll be the last time you can come to the altar. The church has played around with God so long that they think they're not doing anything wrong. And God is saying this wake-up call. And, you know, the cards are on the table, he says. Everything's mapped out before him. He's already told us that the path is, there's nothing on the path to stop us from going forward. But what are you going to do about all the information he just gave you tonight? Come on. There's prophecy all over in the atmosphere in here tonight. God is speaking to your hearts. Some of you are shunning what he's saying to you. And you've just rejected God and his perfect will for your life. The altar's open right now.